Slide 14, the mechanics of a resume. I'm going to digress here for a couple of slides and pull the lens back to provide a high-level view of some best practices when it comes to writing resumes. Many of you will have more than one version of your resume because you may be focused on one area of your expertise or another in different positions you're applying for. It's important to make sure that your resume is really targeted towards the specific role for which you're applying. People often will ask us if it's okay to use a template, and the answer is absolutely. Please keep your use of templates to simple templates. For one thing, algorithms cannot read complicated templates, and it usually will mean that your resume will not be considered. And also, personal preference for both Jay and myself is we prefer to see a resume that is not overcrowded or overly complicated. So when you use a template, make sure to use one that allows for some white space on that piece of paper. And that leads us right into a conversation about density versus length. It's not uncommon for people to cram 2 pages worth of information onto 1 page because they're under the impression that a resume can't be longer than a page. That is just not true. You can have a resume that is as long as it needs to be. Conventional wisdom amongst professionals is that there's no real length that a resume must be limited to, but we all know when we're reading one that's too long. Generally speaking, we try to keep it to 2, no more than 3 pages. There are exceptions. If you're a college graduate, a recent grad, for the most part, while there are some exceptions, your resume should not be more than 1 page. That's not a hard and fast rule, it's just generally speaking. What you don't want to do is crowd your resume onto a page so that it's hard for the person who's reading it to read it. For people like Jay and me, we could maybe read 100 or more resumes even in a day. The easier on the eyes, honestly, the better for us. And that's true for most people. Something that we call functional titles, which will get its own slide in just a moment, is something worth considering when you're looking at how to describe the work you've done. There are some pitfalls to avoid. Don't use graphics other than maybe lines or shading to separate sections. Absolutely, under no circumstances do I want to see an emoji on a resume. Keep your fonts simple as well, easy to read and clear. Don't get too scripty or cute, and keep color to a minimum. I usually advise people against using any color other than, you know, neutral shades of blue or gray. And finally, proofread your resume and then have someone besides yourself proofread it. We do know people in HR who, if there is so much as one typo in the resume, they just won't consider that resume. I think that's a little extreme myself, but it is important to know that that's going on out there and make sure your resume just doesn't have anything in it that doesn't belong there. And then remember to always send it out as a PDF so that the formatting doesn't get jumbled. Before we move on, I just want to point out that although these pitfalls apply to most people, there are absolutely exceptions. If you're a graphic artist, if you are in a particular field that, like advertising, where portfolios and color and design are really important, you may well be using interesting graphics, different color palettes, even more complex and different fonts. Not sure about emojis under any circumstances, to tell you the truth, but I'm sure there's probably even an exception there. Just for most of you in general, this will apply. But if you are in one of those types of professions or lines of work where you know that how you visually represent yourself in a resume is key and important, by all means, do what you need to do.